Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What's Your Next podcast. I am so excited to be back, and today I have a fun recap episode featuring Elsie Silver. This episode was recorded back in 2023 when she was releasing the Chestnut Spring series, so we hear more about Powerless, Flawless, and Hopeless, so all those OG books that we come to love from her writing. I know she just released her last book in the Rose Hill series, which is Wildcard, which has like the fun forbidden trope of an old age gap trope that we love. So I'm very excited to finish this series, and she has a new book coming out next year. So in this episode, we talk about her writing, how she got started, as well as some four book recommendations that you cannot miss. So if you're finishing up your Elsie backlist titles and you want to know what she actually reads and recommends, listen to this episode, grab those books, and enjoy. All right, let's get to the interview. Hey, Elsie, welcome to What's Your Next Podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, a little bit about me. I have been publishing for just under 2 years now, pretty much small town romance exclusively. I live in Canada, so my books are set here too. The first series is in British Columbia, where I live now, and my new Chestnut Spring series is set very close to where I was born and grew up in Alberta.
So what's the distance between both of them? Because we do get a road trip in Powerless, so...
Yeah, so it's about, depending on which way you take, between, let's say, Calgary, which is like the main, like the big city close to Chestnut Springs, and where Gold Rush is, which is outside of Vancouver, it's about a 12-hour drive, depending on the weather in the mountains, or if it's a long weekend, there's all those like single lane kind of spots through the passes when you hit Banff or...
Yeah.
Some of those spots, so it's a bit of a trek. I know Canada's so big that it's like hard to put together, but
I saw a TikTok that people in Canada live closer to the border of the US because most of Canada is like ice and mountain and unlivable. Like there's not a lot of farming. It's like there's like a line where the majority lives, like, but it's still far away from each other. People on the lake live one way, they may not visit Vancouver. It's like a whole different world.
For sure. And different, like, landscapes, I guess, or climates, right? Between all the provinces, too, even. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So, let's chat about your writing journey. What led you to start writing?
So, I was working as an academic editor and kind of just freelancing that sort of stuff. I was home with a young child, and so just fitting stuff in where I could. Then the pandemic hit and all of that like kind of field research that people were doing dried up really quickly, obviously. And I was trapped at home, not trapped, that sounds bad, but at home with a 3-year-old, my husband's job didn't stop. So I was like very isolated feeling. And my mom had said to me, she's actually been on my case for it for a long time. Cause I've been, before I started writing, I was that like 4 books a week kind of romance reader.
Yeah.
And so she'd heard me talk over the years about what I would have done differently or, oh, I have this idea. And I think I've always run through like romance book ideas in my head without really even recognizing that I was doing it. So I felt like I had this catalog of meet cutes or scenes or one-liners that was just kind of in there, and then a little bit in my notes section too. So she said to me, you need to do something that is just for you, just like an hour a day that where you are not like the mom, the whatever, housekeeper, like dog walker, like all those things. So I started waking up super early, like 5 in the morning, and just cuttering on a story that was living in my head. And I wrote really slow when I look back on it. But I didn't have any plans for it. It just was like a true passion project. And I really enjoyed writing it. And then I finished it and was, well, what am I going to do with this? And so that was when I kind of went down the self-publishing rabbit hole.
I love this. I love the fact that you're like, you took it as a creative project with no, like, just a passion project, just a way to get out of your head, do something outside of it, and just allow yourself to just imagine being in this world, you know?
Totally. And yeah.
like no expectations, just an opportunity. And then, hey, there's a new career that showed up.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely was not a career that I saw coming, but I'm so happy I'm here. Kind of stumbled my way into it, which is like very on brand for me. So yeah, it feels like it was meant to be, maybe.
All right, so let's chat about the Chesa Springs series, which is what you're probably known for. And then we go back to your first series because they do have interconnected. Talk to us about the Chesnut Springs series. What is the elevator pitch?
So the Chesnut Springs series is kind of based around a family that lives on Wishing Well Ranch, which is just outside of a small fictional town, which is kind of set in the Alberta foothills just outside of Calgary. And so there's like a town around there called Black Diamond, and it's kind of in my head. It's in that area. And so, yeah, it's set around this family. There are three brothers and one sister. We got the sister's book in the first series because she lives in the other part. But it's not just that on the ranch. There's like a cousin and a kind of adopted brother. We're going to pull in a couple other side characters too. So I didn't call it the Eaton family because it really is a little bit more than that. And it's more than just the ranch too. There's definitely some things that are going to happen in the town. And so it's just kind of watching this whole group of people, the found family and the family, find their happily ever afters.
Yeah, and they can be read as a standalone, although it's nicer to read them in order or out of order. It can be a standalone. Like you don't.
It absolutely can. Yeah, I think. I mean, you'll see the characters pop in who are already together, and then everybody knows when they pick up a romance, they're going to end up together. But you'll see those other characters and get to know them a little bit, and maybe miss like little pieces of backstory, but you will definitely not be lost. No.
Yeah, and so let's chat about Powerless, which is the latest one in the Chesa Springs series. What is an elevator pitch? Like, what is the trope? Like, what is all about?
For Powerless?
Yep.
For Powerless, it is a childhood friends to lovers. He is kind of the adopted brother of the Eaton family, and she's their cousin. And she basically fell in love with him the minute she saw it. Like, it was love at first sight for her, but she was 10. So it kind of, we go through how that has changed for her, and how I ask a lot of my friends, I'm like, what age did your daughter get her first like consuming crush?
Yeah.
And so it kind of goes from that, like her like just being like childhood infatuation, teenaged angst. But for her, he was like this beautiful, handsome boy. And for him, she was always just the little cousin because she was so little, right? And then they kind of remain friends throughout their lives. And then she ends up engaged. And it's kind of a wake-up call for him that even though they've been friends for so long, all of a sudden she's in her late 20s and she's not a little girl anymore. So.
And we got a road trip.
We got one bed, a little bit of an age gap. Unrequited love, or is it mutual pining?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
It's a good act. And if you're like, I told you from the beginning, I'm not a huge friends and lovers fan because it's like it takes a while. This one is a good friends and lovers fun. So, good. Awesome. So you mentioned you were a romance reader before. And so what kind of romance did you end up reading? Like, do you read like small town, like paranormal? Like, what kind of genre did you gravitate?
I think I read a lot of contemporary, and I go through phases. I always feel like if I start getting slumpy, I will like switch lanes. Like, so I'll be like, okay, contemporary is not really hitting for me right now. I'll go read fantasy, or I'll go read aliens, or I'm in like a historical mode right now and loving that. So as long as it's romance, I'm not super picky, but I would say that like I started with like the Sookie Stackhouse novels. That was probably and those ones really got me into it. And I loved, like, I remember we rented a cabin at a lake when I was younger, and there's always the bookshelf with like Monopoly and then like some random books on it. And I don't know how old I was. I don't remember, but I remember being like, oh, this is a really interesting cover, and like sneaking this book upstairs and just like reading it under my covers. Cause it was like a bodice ripper. Like, it was like a totally old school Harlequin kind of like romance novel. So yeah, I'll read anything as long as there's romance in it.
I feel you. I discovered the Sookie Stackhouse because I saw it in Goodwill. I was in New York And sometimes the Goodwill will have good stuff. And it was like the whole series of mass market paperbacks were like $5, like 10 books for $5. And I just like binge read them.
They're so good.
They're so
good. And that was before True Blood came out too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They were so good. Like the whole thing. It was like, it was better than the show. Like it was like so good.
For sure.
So do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yeah, I've read some really amazing books this year that I talk about probably all the time to the people who know me. One of the most recent ones was Love in Other Words by Christina Loren. I loved it. It was friends to lovers. So maybe that was why too. Yeah. I was like, oh my goodness. But it was like, there was way more flashbacks in this book. And I don't always love flashbacks, but they were so well done. Like I often feel that big long flashbacks pull me out of like the development or the intimacy or the tension, but these ones just like added to it because they were these angsty teenaged moments. And I just, the hero in this book was just so swoony and so adorable. I loved him. I also am a huge Elizabeth O'Rourke fan. Her Devil series is one of my favorites. A Deal with the Devil, book one, just like the banter, the jokes, the female main character is hilarious and not a pushover, and I always am here for that. And then I listened to the audio of Darling Venom by Parker S. Huntington, and that was definitely one of my favorites of the year also. And Maestro by Auden Dar, I think I'm pronouncing it right. I don't know. I blew up her DMs. It's only her third book, and I was like, I could not stop reading this book. I don't know what you put in it. It was so angsty. I wanted to throw my Kindle across the room. But it's about a conductor, and he's like this violin virtuoso, and it's like the art scene in New York, and just so it, I liked it because it transported me. Like I've never read a book in that setting about people with those professions, and it was just, I don't know, it was heartbreaking and beautiful, and it was really good.
All right, adding those two to my TBR for sure.
There you go.
Well, Elsie, tell us where we can find you online.
Online, I'm probably most active on Instagram. It's all of my socials are like author Elsie Silver. I am also on TikTok. I am on Goodreads. And I do have a website, www.elsiesilver.com, that is in the process of being redone right now. So, but I am there. And my email is attached to all of that, which is generally the best way to get a hold of me, if I'm being honest.
Thank you, Elsie, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.